Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the baseball season, right? We've a little golf tournament over the weekend. We're feeling that 70 degree, the burn coming up, but it's never not football season around here. Hence my Ravens gear. We're going out to Kansas City where they almost did it again. This guy's been covering Kansas City football longer than I've been covering Baltimore football, and that's a long time. Adam Teicher joins us from ESPN, the worldwide leader out in Kansas City. You know, I thought of you, looking for excuses, didn't get to go to the Super Bowl this year and hang out and see people and whatnot, but the Sammy Watkins thing was interesting, and I probably text you in the middle of the press conference and said, hey, dude, you want to come on? Because for all these hostage videos we've had the last year, and watching this stuff, I found him to be the most interesting because he almost looked happy to be out of Kansas City. And I thought, that's not a place you want to leave. I know you like staying there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was no better in his best moments, was third in line to get the ball there. And sometimes fourth, sometimes even farther down the line there. So, you know, in Baltimore, who knows? He may be the top dog when the Ravens throw the ball. So, you know, I think that's got him going a little bit because, you know, it was pretty obvious. And he came in here basically saying, hey, this is Tyreek Hill's team. This is Travis Kelce's team. This is not my team. I'm just trying to find a way to fit in. I don't think he ever really did figure out how he fit in with the Chiefs. I feel like he never really felt comfortable with what was going on here. So interesting to see if he can finally become the player in Baltimore that he hasn't been consistently, at least throughout his career.
Well, I mean, I guess the reason I reached you is a little bit of a primer on him to say, well, what do you think? You know what I mean? You know a lot about our team. You and I get together often and talk about our team. Usually it's your team beating our team. That's at least been that way for a couple of years now. But, I mean, you've seen the Ravens play, and you've obviously seen a lot of Sammy Watkins. I think – look, I don't think we sit here and admire what's going on in Kansas City, although that champagne looked good that Mahomes got last year. But I do think – you've won, we haven't. And I think the wide perception is that the Chiefs are the better team and all of that. And we're so desperate for a wide receiver here, right? Like, I don't know what they don't have in Kansas City because you had a couple of parades now and whatever. But the thing we don't have here is a wide receiver, and there's no pedigree for it. And thinking about this all season, and maybe I didn't think about it enough, Adam, you know, like, we talked about it, we dabbled in it. You pressed Eric DaCosta as much as you can on these hostage videos about it and whether there would be reluctance to come and play in this offense. Cause everybody wants to play pitch and catch with Patrick Mahomes. At least that would be the perception of it. And yet a wide receiver that want to come here, everything about that Monday press conference made me go a little, I'm going to reach to Adam, get to know him a little bit better. So I guess that's probably where this thing was rooted because it was a weird press conference for me.
Yeah, I sort of thought so, but Sammy Watkins is a different kind of guy. I really liked him. In the first 2 years with the Chiefs, I did get to know him a little bit, and I one of my favorite guys in the locker room. I think he was trying to be genuine and answer the questions. He's not one of those guys who ducks out after the team loses or he doesn't play well. I mean, he'll always be there for you to answer a question. So I always appreciated that part of about him. But as far as football goes, I think maybe he's thinking, okay, hey, I started my career in Buffalo playing with basically second-rate quarterbacks, you know, Tyrod Taylor, guys like that. And then I went to the Rams for 1 year, never felt like I fit in, and I was far down the line in Kansas City in the time I was there. Now maybe this is my place where I can find myself, regardless of what you think of Lamar Jackson as a passer. He was the league's MVP 2 years ago, right? So, I think he's feeling like maybe this is his time where his career is finally going to take a turn like we all thought it would be when he first came out in the draft.
Yeah, there's some perception in me being like anti-Lamar or something. I'm anti-Lamar thinking they're ever going to win throwing the ball here because I don't think they're going to try to throw it often enough. Like that would be my perception of it, that as much as they say, we got to improve the passing game, to what? How many times do you really want to throw it? They really don't want to throw it. They want to run it, and they're going to draft later in the month to run it, not throw it. I found it interesting that he looked real relieved to be leaving. That was the weird part for me because I thought, Most people want to get to Kansas City right about now, not want to leave. And I know, and that's probably why I wanted to just talk to you a little bit about the aftermath of everything that's going on there, COVID related, Andy, where it is, winning, losing, all of that, because that's sort of the temperature of the league. I mean, we're going to be sitting here in Baltimore from April now until January, whatever, trying to beat the Chiefs. At least that's my feeling.
Yeah, and as far as Sammy Watkins goes, you know, that's sort of been his MO. I mean, he's bounced around a little bit. And part of the reason is he's a guy who's kind of wanted out of places he's been. He wanted out of Buffalo really badly and never really fit in with the Rams, wanted out of there. And now the time comes, and, you know, I'm not sure the Chiefs really worked very hard to keep him around. So, but as far as that goes, I think he saw maybe a brighter future for himself here. He was, again, he just wasn't going to be any better than the third option in the passing game. So, you know, maybe he can be more than that with the Ravens.
What's the state of the Chiefs? Give me a little, you know, primer getting up on, they got a really good quarterback, we got a really good quarterback, and you're trying to figure it all out and piecing it together. One of the issues here, and I know you know this from the first time, well, actually the second time we won, the Flacco, the rookie contract was a lot different than what happened after, you know, he was perfect in January. And then what happened after that is he could not be perfect because the salary cap and 18, 19, 21% of the cap, what you can surround him with. This is a weird year across the league because of the cap and what's happened with COVID. But then there's that boost that's going to make Patrick Mahomes not look as expensive as maybe it looked when they bought champagne last year. And he was in the same circumstance Flacco was in, which is, hey, you just won. We have to sign you, have to give you money. Here we're trying to figure that out with Lamar as to how it's going to be different. Does it feel different in Kansas City in piecing this thing together moving forward, knowing that there is a huge chunk against the cap now? And you like that, but you like that until you have to keep your own.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been challenging for the Chiefs. I mean, they've signed a few of their other players, but they're sort of a top heavy salary cap. They got, you know, a lot of guys up, you know, sort of, you know, way high on their salary cap, and then a lot of minimum wage type guys. So we'll see how they can do depth wise. They've done a pretty good job with it so far, but and this roster is still a work in progress. I mean, we're what, 3 weeks away from the draft, and there's still some holes in the roster. Not used to that. Usually they try to take care of these things before the draft, and maybe they still will. But the offensive line got some holes there. Defensively, maybe some holes there as well. Wide receiver, so who's going to take Sammy Watkins' place? So Chiefs have a lot of ground to cover between now and the start of the season, personnel-wise, whether they do that through free agency or the draft.
Yeah, I know you watch baseball out there. I watch baseball here, and baseball's starting. And, you know, you either have hope, a couple teams, or you have no hope. You know, it's NBA's kind of like a lot of leagues like that. Man, when you get a kid like Mahomes or a kid like Lamar Jackson, and the window feels really big, right? And more than that, it feels like, and I've had Red Sox people on this week, like we opened against the Red Sox at Bob Ryan and Shaughnessy on talking about the Patriots, but also talking about the Red Sox and what's going on with them and how this foot off the gas, no matter what, you're in a position. And Kansas City was always one of these places with the Hunt family where they were always in the hunt, right? Like most of the time trying real hard. But when you have someone special, the measurement in Kansas City now is not another parade. It's a dynasty feel to how much can you get done when you have LeBron James, when you have that person. How many times can you win, and how open is that window? Here it feels much more different because of the way we run and the way Lamar plays, that the vibe is, and I don't think anybody would argue this, that Patrick Mahomes will be doing this longer and better because of the way he does it. But I think that also off-season to off-season really creates an expectation level that the Red Sox had, that the Braves had, that only a couple of franchises ever get to feel that vibe of, yeah, you don't have to be good this year. You have to be good for the next 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And but the thing that I think complicates things from the Chiefs' point of view, and say maybe he's making them a little different from what New England, say, went through during their, you know, 20 year reign as best team in the AFC East and often best team in the AFC. I think there's a lot of teams in the AFC who are gearing up. You look at a lot of the good young quarterbacks who've come into the league, the last few years have gone to the AFC. I mean, in looking at this year, Trevor Lawrence is going to the AFC. Regardless of what you think of Zach Wilson, he's going to an AFC team. Last year, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Tua all went to AFC teams. So I don't think AFC teams are necessarily going to take lying down what they took from the Patriots for 20 years. I think one of the underrated factors in the Patriots sort of lording over the league is they played in a division for almost 20 years where all those other teams were terrible. I mean, Buffalo was almost always bad. Miami had a couple good teams, mostly were bad. And the Jets had a couple good teams. They were bad for a lot of that period as well. That's not going to be happening in the AFC. So if the Chiefs can achieve, and I don't think they can, but if they can have some kind of run like the Patriots have had with Pat Mahomes as their quarterback, that's going to be, I think, even more of an achievement, because these teams in the AFC just aren't going to be lying down like a lot of times there were. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh had a couple of good teams. Baltimore had a couple of good teams during the Patriots run. But for the most part, a lot of these teams were fumbling and trying to find their way, and there wasn't any kind of consistent challenger to the Patriots.
But well, those three franchises looking for a quarterback too, you know, forever, the Jets, the Bills, always sort of slapping around. Adam Teicher's our guest from ESPN out in Kansas City, the worldwide leader covering all things Chiefs. Even in baseball season, there's a draft coming up in a couple of weeks. You know, I guess for the offseason business of the league and the bigger picture, 17 games, where the cap's going, how much money the media companies are still flooding the zone with. And then there's teams having to sell tickets and figuring out COVID but the NFL comes into this whole different place in baseball where it feels like baseball didn't play last year. At least here it feels that way. The NFL never stopped moving, right? Like, it never stopped pushing the business of the league. The NFL's in just much better position than all the rest of these teams, even going into the draft, to start printing money again when time comes in September.
Yeah, the timing was perfect for the NFL with regard to COVID, right? The season ended, about a month? The Super Bowl was about a month before COVID kind of took over the country last year. So the NFL had time to get together a battle plan and try to figure out how to make their season work. And I guess
even if it wasn't a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah. You sort of figure they did. And so now, they're the only pro sports league that never didn't have a season interrupted. You know, the NHL and the NBA, we know, had the big pauses, and baseball got started, 3 months later, whatever it was. So, the NFL was the one that wasn't affected from that regard. Now, they played to a lot of empty stadiums and things like that, but maybe even that's going to change this year.
You watching too much Big Ten Network and seeing that bubble come down in College Park and realizing the College Park and like East Lansing, we're in the same little thing. Cause you're Spartied up, man. And like, I'll be honest, I had my boy Carolina Mike on this week after Roy Williams departed. I always remind him Roy was a Kansas first, but he didn't want to hear that. And we talked some Rush and some Neil Peart and, you know, did the thing we do around here. But, you know, it's amazing how much fear and loathing there still is in the ACC about Maryland leaving and all that. And here's the weird part, like, because college sports wasn't normal this year. And I just had on Jordan McNair's father, who passed away. Marty McNair came on talking about Jordan McNair. And we were talking about money and Big Ten and football and where Maryland fits in all of this and the Big Ten tankaroo and the hoops tournament. And I said, you know, as a Maryland guy, until I really hate Michigan State or really hate Ohio State, I mean, I like Jim Harbaugh. I get along great when I know Jim, but, you know, I'm trying to like find, and I'm never going to have that for Iowa or Northwestern or any of these places, but there's not any of that disdain that even I feel percolating from my old North Carolina buddy toward Maryland. I'm like, dude, we left 10 years ago. Leave it alone. I'm trying to figure out how to have anti-Sparty conversations with Teicher twice a year when he comes on. And we don't have it in our DNA here. We're trying to figure it out.
Well, you know why that is, I think, is these conferences, and the Big Ten is certainly one of them, become so big, Maryland doesn't play everybody every year. How can you hate Iowa when you don't play them every year in football? Or you play them once
against
every
Minnesota,
years.
Those nice people out there in that bar.
How can you hate them if you don't play them every year? And in basketball, you play them sometimes once a year. I mean, I hate the unbalanced schedule. I just wish the Big Ten would say, okay, you're playing a full round, a double round robin every year. You're going to play 26 of your basketball games against Big Ten teams. And if you want to have, you know, two or three or four or five, whatever other non-conference games. That's your business.
O's league with intramurals.
All these teams twice. So that's why I think maybe it's hard to get that, you develop those rivalries, you know? I think even within the existing Big Ten teams, I mean, Michigan State doesn't play Minnesota as often, for instance. It's hard to follow Minnesota as much as it used to be. It's hard to dislike them as much as you used to. So I don't think it's just a Maryland, Rutgers, Nebraska thing. I think it's the whole conference is suffering. There's just too many teams.
Well, you know, Gary leaves and Turgeon comes and we got the building and we had just won and you're, you know, all Izzo'd up and like all of that. And it was sort of like, all right, you're our new Duke. I don't like you, Teicher. I don't like it. And I'm like, we're still hating on Duke. We still show the little kid crying, you know, all these years, like it's been 20 years, you know, and it feels so it's sort of like I want to have a fresh war. You know what I mean? I want to have a fresh rivalry. And like, when the hell are you going to hate us when you're busy over in you know, other side of the state and, oh, and they're busy with Ohio State and we're busy sort of with Penn State, but we can't beat them. You know what I mean? Like, so getting your ass kicked in football, all you, that's Indiana's job, right? I mean, it used to be anyway, right?
Yeah. That just shows these things are going to take time. I mean, we might be sitting here 20 years talking about when Maryland is going to start hating Big Ten teams, because if you're still talking about that Duke thing and I just feel like, you know, Maryland's been in the Big Ten for a while, that you think reasonably there should be some of that built up, but it's just like, no, it's like, you know, the Big Ten East division, you know, it's just like something that doesn't really exist.
Well, maybe the Ravens and the Chiefs could be a little version of that in and out of this, right? I mean, you know, another meeting this year and, you know, like this is becoming a little something for the NFL outside. But it, to your point, it's lopsided, you know, until we hurt some feelings out there and steal your barbecue. By the way, I got some Jack Stack barbecue last week, man. I dumped it. I did a little taste test here with some Woodrow's ribs here, which are pretty good. You know, we do okay. But yeah, you know, I think here we'd like this to be I think the league would like a Mahomes Lamar rivalry, right?
Oh yeah. Josh Allen. I mean, that's why I think this, you know, hey, if Trevor Lawrence works out and Joe Burrow works out and Baker Mayfield works out, I mean, everywhere you turn in the AFC, 90% of the teams, 75% of the teams are going to have some kind of quarterback that is sort of a marquee type guy. So I think it's great. I mean, I love that, you know, this extra game now, the Chiefs get Aaron Rodgers. So we get a Rodgers, Pat Mahomes matchup. And I think for the Ravens, it's the Rams, right?
Got the Rams. And I said,
you get Matt Stafford. I mean, I think that's an awesome thing.
I love an extra Rams game, but why can't we play it there? You know what I mean? It's LA. I want to go there. I don't want to play here.
Hey, next year when you'll have to go to Green Bay, maybe when it's the thing rotates and it's an AFC game, maybe you go, maybe you get Detroit or Green Bay or whoever it would be next year.
Well, you know, I'm always looking for a good trip. Kansas City's the best trip. And, you know, and I get cost that because we don't win games and there's COVID and I haven't had barbecue in a year and a half in Kansas City since we came out there and lost another one. So, we'll try to stay in line with all this stuff. And I really appreciate you visiting with us as always, bringing us some knowledge from out of Kansas City. And I do hope we get together and have some normalcy. I mean, the schedule's coming out and everybody here's worked up because like the schedule says Las Vegas, like when did they get in the league, right? You didn't make that trip last year, right?
No, I did not. So I'm looking forward to that this year. Hopefully things are back to normal, but I'm looking forward to that trip for sure.
And everybody out in Vegas is crushing me on it, being like, man, NFL in Vegas. And I'm like, I could probably handle a day on the front and the back end of that trip as well. Adam, I appreciate you, man. We'll be following you along at ESPN. Of course, out on Twitter and everywhere you are covering all things Chiefs. You know, tough losing the Super Bowl, right? Little weird hangover for, you know, covering the team this year too, right?
Yeah, it's been different. You know, the only thing the Chiefs knew, the only losses the Chiefs knew under Pat Mahomes were close losses. I mean, he had not lost a game with the Chiefs where the Chiefs lost by more than 8 points. I mean, it was all 8 points or less. So one score games, and this one wasn't a one score game. I mean, they could still be playing that game. Chiefs wouldn't have found a way to catch up. They'd be farther behind than they were. So that kind of domination of the Chiefs, we're just not used to. And interested to see how, you know, what other teams maybe learned about that, how the Chiefs adjust. you know, we'll see. You know, there's been the attitude that, hey, doesn't really matter what we do here because Pat Mahomes will take care of it. He'll make things right. Well, for the first time, we've kind of saw in the Super Bowl, even there's limits to how his ability to handle that kind of stuff. So he needs help. And we'll see how well the Chiefs have done that around him for next season.
Well, injuries a week before the Super Bowl to key positions don't help either. I know I credit you for not bringing that up and Andy Reid and whatnot, but it was different, man. And just when you kick Brady out of the conference, you still can't beat him. It's, you know, I started calling him a witch when the ball, you know, the tuck and all that stuff happened back in the day. And there are no more words, are there? Even for people who write for a living, right?
Yeah. It was fantastic. I have tipped my hat to the guy because, you know, you've seen these other great quarterbacks, you know, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, some other guys just couldn't sustain to his age, but he's still doing it. So credit to him.
Yeah, my dude Ryan Jensen fell into a tub of butter down there, signing down there and getting himself a ring. He's having a hell of an offseason right now. Mm-hmm. Adam, take care of yourself, kid. Said we'll get out for some barbecue. Maybe a ball game out, of, you know, a little baseball out there as well. And I had an open invite from the Negro Baseball Museum and the Hall of Fame out there, too. So I hope to get back out on the road again.
All right. Good to see you.
Thank you very much. Go Sparty. There he goes. Adam Teicher joining us here from ESPN and the worldwide leader in Kansas City, which is not just in Kansas. It's also in Missouri, too. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, trying to find barbecue like that and trying to stay Baltimore positive.